and I'm them.
We don't give a toss about Britney, Whitney, or Shitney.
Let's go inside.
Where's my bottle of chlorine?
Hello, mate. I know there's a water shortage on, but it's not as if filling my swimming pool is wasting the water exactly. I mean, I'll obviously use some of it eventually for the shrubs next to my security gates. The kind of people who don't have a swimming pool shouldn't...
Environmental man. Saves the world from yet another cretin.
Hey, you just can't keep him from sticking his big weapon in where it's needed. Speaking of environmental man's weapon, still haven't decided on any alternative weapon, so it's going to have to be that ultra-violent thing that he's running around with just now. Mind you, it suits him quite well, because there is actually an emphasis on the word mental in environmental man. So, yes, that's that. I'm kind of leading up to a water-related podcast this week, but I don't know. I've got so much material to get through, and I don't want it to be too huge. So, anyway, backtrack. Welcome to podcast number 15. There we go. Now I've said it. Jesper Rasmussen is not with us just now. He's actually en route to somewhere... I'm not going to give anything else away. Last week was obviously fantastically funny outside IKEA, getting it completely wrong. Fancy that, protesting against somewhere and then actually going into that somewhere to get your banner repaired. I mean, the irony. Oh, it's disgusting. Anyway, playing around with Audacity, this fantastic free tool that's on the internet that I have based this entire... The technology behind Hans Island Podcast is basically Audacity. It's a kind of a free mixing tool kind of idea that you can install on your PC and off you go. I think it works on Linux as well. You have to download a special thing for to be able to save in MPEG format, but apart from that, it works an absolute treat. I'll put a link up on www.freewebs.com/Hans Island. And I've been playing around with it this week I don't know if it's a vain attempt. I think it's a pretty good attempt at trying to get a quick fire session going across Skype. And it's heavily edited, so there's some kind of clicking noise and stuff. I will get better, but here's a next quick fire session. Off we go.
3, 2, 1.
Quick fire.
Hey, Mark.
Hi.
Are you ready for your quick fire round?
I am.
Here we go. Panda bear or human race?
Panda.
Saddam or Gaddafi?
Ooh, tough one. Gaddafi.
Smoked or marinated?
Marinated.
Teddy's in Munich or Bleeding Stockholm?
Bleeding Stockholm.
MSN or AOL?
Oh, AOL.
Canada or Denmark?
Ooh, tough one. Denmark.
Sesame Street or CNN?
Oh, Sesame Street.
Alright, so you've seen the likeness then.
Oh, they're identical.
Okay, Google or Big Brother?
Oh, Google.
Again, well spotted. They will control the world. BMW or penile surgery?
That's a rhetorical question, isn't it?
Well, it depends on. I think penile surgery is actually a bit cheaper.
BMW, it's probably more painful, but more chance of... moving on.
Excellent. And last one, Bush, burning or trimmed?
Burning.
Thank you, Mark. That has been your quick fire session.
Pleasure.
Well, indeed. Last week actually being kind of the last part of the middle part of November 2005, and this week is actually the actual last part of November 2005. Anyway, last week, Hans Island Podcasts got hurled onto the podcast map of the world. I say hurled, and of course, due to cultural and ethnic diversity of the planet and the use of the English language, maybe I should just say featured instead, or put onto instead of hurled, because that could actually mean something else completely. Anyway, I tried last week to get the Podcast Outlaws MPEG played, because it's absolutely great. It encapsulates everything that I think that podcast is about. And it didn't work. For some reason, it didn't work. And this week, I've actually managed to get hold of the whole promo from podcastoutlaws.com, and it's brilliant. I'm going to play for you in just a second. And also, we've been featured on it. How cool is that? Last Thursday, or Thursday the, 24th or something, we got featured on it. Here's the promo. It's brilliant.
Podshow secures $8.5 million in funding. Investors put audio on the map today. Fox TV launches podcast programming.
Yeah!
Hey, wait a minute. Isn't podcasting supposed to be about the little guy with a laptop and a mic?
Yeah, things are changing, all right. The big boys are moving in and turning podcasting into a strip mall. But there's still one place you can go to find the coolest, the funniest, and the best independent podcasts around.
Really? Where?
Yeah!
The Podcast Outlaws Network at PodcastOutlaws.com has you covered. When you sign up for the Outlaws feed, you'll get sample episodes of great shows you've never heard of, delivered fresh to your computer or MP3 player. No corporate posers, no hype, just great podcasts.
Who are the Outlaws?
The Outlaws are podcasters themselves. They're passionate about finding and sharing the best shows.
What's it cost? Don't the Outlaws have some venture capitalists to pay off?
Venture capital? We don't need no stinking venture capital. It's free to listen, free to submit your show. Just go to podcastoutlaws.com. Podcast Outlaws, this ain't your podfather's network, punk.
So, I mean, there you have it. That kind of sums up everything that, well, I wanted to do Hans Island for. It's free, I'm using free software, I'm a guy with a laptop. And I've got a okay. Admitted, I went to Walmart and I got the whole microphone thing, and it did cost. I don't know how many euros that actually is. I think it's like 7.29 euros or something. Well, depending on the exchange rate and where you are. No, it doesn't actually depend on where you are, because euros is. Oh, never mind. That's a completely different discussion. Just before I go wandering off on some tangent about the stuff that I was going to talk about, which is what the face recognition and a few other things, I've got it kind of listed up, and it's kind of buried in the back of my brain. So, and I actually do have half the information on it, so that should be interesting. Here is another load of grumpy negativity, I suppose, is the best way to surmise it, from Mark, sent in. I'm still wondering whether to actually call this stuff Marxism. I like the word Marxism, but it isn't actually Marxism. It's just somebody having a big moan, really.
Mark's view of the world. It can't be as bad as it looks.
What I think they should do is, in the event of a robbery and you get the news crews on site, the news crews should wear those bright orange jackets that hunters wear, so that when they're on a case where they're looking at viewing the ongoing action and playing it out into your living room hour after hour after hour, even after the siege, the bank raid or something like that is completed, it still comes back, and they just sort of like play it to death. What they should be able to do is, if you run out of a bank with a gun, you should be able to shoot the camera crews in order to minimize the coverage. It strikes me as mental that you have people out there who find time to write poetry about war crimes. Yeah, for some reason, there's poems have been written to on a Bosnian Serb accused. I mean, it's crazy. It's just like, you're small, you're bad, you didn't bomb bank, Dad. You're accused. And the UN concerned that the Arts Council was being used for propaganda. I mean, the Bosnian Serb turned around and said that the propaganda was a small independent state and that no party was party to other than the party that was concerned for its parties. UN official replied that, we don't care, you've got no hair, no. Negotiations continue. Bush saves Turkey. How ironic is that? Kofi Annan's been trying to do that for years. It was good to see the fight in the Taiwan's parliament. I mean, it was like this vicious ballet of democracy with colour, flair, talent. It was like operatic moves. It was like watching the Bolshoi ballet with club hammers. I mean, it seems that Asia seems to have this whole protest market sewn up so well. You find an outcrop of land in a hurricane zone and you build condominiums on it. Right? Obviously, another classic sales pitch. Come down to Florida. Move in. See the sand. See the sea. See the sea on the 10th floor of your condo. Coming in 100 mile an hour, 200 mile an hour winds. You can really get a bird's eye view of the hurricanes. It blasts through your apartment, breathing air into your hair, along with being sandblasted and ships passing by as the tide comes through, rolls over the dune and makes the rest of the area disappear. Unfortunately, disappearing is what the snow seems to have done in southern England this month. Forecasts of heavy snow and the fact that society has gone out and just gone purchase mad on tinned food, snow shoes, snow boots, skis, huskies, all in preparation for this really, really cold winter that is supposedly going to be turning about. But unfortunately, we don't seem to be seeing any of it. It just seems to be this dismal, grey, boring, dreary winter, rainy season. Well, actually, it's a normal Christmas in England. 24-hour drinking, binge drinking, which would you prefer? At least, if you binge drink, you know where you stand, or fall, as the case may be. You know that you've got a certain amount of time, binge drink, fall down, taxi home, dodgy food, crash out, next day, forget about it, move on. 24-hour drinking, when is last orders? But then that goes the same for the likes of the fox hunting ban. Fox hunting ban can't hunt foxes because obviously chasing a fox with 100, 200 people on horses with, say, 50 or 60 hounds that are going to tear it apart is really good pest control, other than using, say, a trap or a gun. Seems a bit irony that the fact that they still allow it, but they're just going, actually, no, we're not hunting a fox. We're just chasing the hounds who seem to have just run off in this particular direction. And all the eco-friendly people are just sitting there going, told you so. What they should be able to do is, as the fox was a pest to the countryside, because of the ruling, should the huntsman and the hounds not be deemed as a pest to the countryside? Therefore, that would mean that you would be able to shoot, as a form of pest control, anybody who goes out hunting in packs. So, I'm going to say sayonara, sayo, and ciao, and I'll catch up with everybody next week.
Mark's view of the world. It can't be as bad as it looks.
Thanks, Mark. That's really cheered everyone up, I suppose. Very cynical view of the world, or view of the current things that you've found. Thank you very, very much. Very well produced, I think, and nice choice of subjects there. What was I going to talk about this time? Ah, yes. There was Mrs. Doe. I don't know. I'm maybe talking from a Hans Island perspective here, only knowing half the actual facts here. But I can remember sitting with my cup of coffee with the television sound off, but I could just remember seeing this the picture of a guy who, and then there were like little subtitles on and stuff. I got the gist of the story, which is that he stole the name Buckingham. Basically, from a child. You know, like in the movie The Highlander, where you go in and get a birth certificate from a child that has died, etc., and you just take on that identity. Well, he did that 22 years ago. And I thought, oh, God, that's pretty weird, etc. And goodness me, they should really start recording people's names and have some kind of a central repository of information kind of idea in the UK. But anyway, what struck me was that it all of a sudden there was this interview with a woman who I gather he was married to, and she was absolutely appalled to find out that he's not called Mr. Buckingham. He's called something else, and no one actually knows what he was called, and he's been living a lie for the last 22 years, and her name is Mrs. Doe. Hello. I don't know, and I was just reading an article here. It says, Canadian-born Mrs. Doe, who met Buckingham when they work in Germany, said the episode had left her angry and her two children. But Mrs. Doe, I mean, is this the general media being fed this name, or is her name actually Mrs. Doe? I mean, talking about nominative determinism, is that phrase where people's surnames actually relate to what they do, like Mr. Dr. Payne, for example, who's a dentist, and wasn't there a farming minister in the UK a couple of years back called Douglas Hogg? Well, there you go. Anyway, that's nominative determinism. That's very, very interesting. So, yes, let me just go on to the next subject, the actual subject that I was going to talk about, which was IBM's face recognition. Now, a lot of years ago, we're talking like, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years ago or something, I was very interested in something I read that IBM was doing, which was trying to find out a way of securing a password. Now, when you've got a PIN code, you can obviously get beaten up and somebody can, you can relate, you can give a PIN code, you can write it down, you can tell it to somebody. And if you've got stuff like pattern recognition, like your eye, your retina thing, you know, that is something that gets read, it gets digitized, and it's a load of ones and zeros. And once it's digitized, then it gets encrypted. So the technology can actually be bypassed, just like your thumbprint, you know, or your any biometric sign. Somebody can cut off your thumb and that's it. But even if they don't, it's just a series of ones and zeros until such a time that it gets encrypted in the machinery somewhere. So it can easily be spoofed. So IBM, some very clever people, they sat there and thought, now hang on a minute, can we actually have something that can be stored in a person's brain that they can't actually give on to anybody, it's personal to them? Well, yes. If you've got, for example, a screen of, let's say, 100 passport photos of various people, and you have to choose six, not in any particular order, just a random order, but six faces, and those six faces, once you've chosen them, that's your password. I mean, even one face out of 100, how are you going to, if somebody's holding you at gunpoint, how are you going to relay that? You know, well, it's a male, and he's got a mustache, you know, well, that narrows it down to like 50. And he's got brown eyes. Okay, now we're still at like 48. Kind of, do you see where I'm going with this? You can't actually relay it, and six of them. But how easy is it for a human being to actually, out of 100 passport photos, recognize six? And you can never, ever explain them. You can't write them down, but you can remember them. It's fantastic. And now all of a sudden I've seen that this company called Passfaces have come up with this, and they're going on. I'll put the link up on the website, and I think it's brilliant technology. I think it's much better than all this biometrics garbage, because that's just a technology becoming viable and somebody out to make a quick buck. It's not actually a good system, if you like. This system, however, is fantastic. I think it's brilliant. So anyway, that was my technology geeky rant for just now. Oh, who's that? Oh, I'm being transported to the northeast of Scotland.
There is no way I am doing this recycling at the council's wanting us to do. There's seven of us in a chipper every night. Can you imagine recycling all that paper? And not to mention the amount of letters we get for the benefits people. I'm just sorting through which envelope's got a window on it and which one...
Environmental man saves the world from yet another cretin.
Yes, well, still ultra-violent is our resident environmental man. Ethnic Scottish dialect there from the northeast of Scotland. Somebody refusing to do their recycling or basically having a good bitch about it. Just goes to show that wherever you are and whoever you are, you just can't escape environmental man. So, yes, I started off this podcast saying that it was going to be the subject of water and kind of a wet thing. So let me launch into a Skype session, which I had earlier on in the week, which indeed was recorded when it was absolutely snowing. Here we go.
Skype session.
Sorry, I didn't think you were going to pick it up. Oh, we got a call coming in. Oh, I thought you had a call coming in. You know when you get that rumbling in the background just before you get... Oh, must be... It just shows how much radiation is pumping through the side of your head when you put the phone to it. Whilst it's using your head as an additional antenna. Not too bad. Generally work sucks, but there you go. Oh, you have snow. We have no snow. Sort of sludgy porridge consistence that seems to bring England to a grinding halt. Oh, would that help with the existing drought problem that was early this year by... Yeah, we could buy in snow, throw it around a bit, let it soak through into the ground, thus helping the ecological system along its way. But then we'd have one of those napkin drought. We have a global shortage of napkins. We're going to have to go and melt down the great napkin berg. You want to sprinkle it in your garden just before it starts to rain in order to build a swimming pool with this mush consistency of napkin as the outer edge of your pool. And then obviously as that deteriorates within the 30 seconds that you put it in the water will run straight into the ground, thus negating the problem for a water drought yet again. Yeah, no problem. Cheers, Rob.
Skype session.
Well, exactly. Thank you very much, Mark, for that wonderful Skype session. Audio quality is being worked on by me just now. Yes, we started off podcast 15 with a watery swimming pool-y wet kind of theme, and we've also finished up with that. So that's brilliant. I don't know what happened in the intervening time in this extremely long podcast this week. We went off on a bit of a tangent there, but I mean that's the whole point of Hans Island, and no doubt I got all the facts wrong. I do like the fact that I've mentioned Nestle about four or five times in the course of 15 podcasts. It's amazing. Everybody must be getting the impression that I've got a personal vendetta against them, which I don't necessarily. But anyway, this has been podcast 15. I have been, and still am, Robert, and I will get together with everybody again in podcast 16 in a week's time. Bye-bye for now.
Dette program er lavet med gratis software fra internettet som følger Audacity for soundmixing, hotrecorder for Skype recording. Tusind tak til Calponat, fundet via flashkit.com for baggrundslyd. Ja, e-mail dig nok, kammerat. Dette podcast indeholder mine meninger alene og repræsenterer ingen organisationer, bevægelser eller ideologi. Hold fast på internettet som et frit medium.
This was made with free software found on the internet as follows: Audacity for sound mixing and Hot Recorder for Skype recording. Thanks and shout out to Calponat, found via flashkit.com, for the excellent sound loops in the background. This recording contains my views and my opinions and does not represent any organizations, movements or ideologies. Let's keep the internet free.